I believe the Lord has given us to think about and talk about, and that is, do we know what we have received? Do we know what we have received? Father, unless your word becomes life to us, we really have no hope. It is simply another message, another meeting, another word. Let this be words of life for us, Lord, and we take it into our hearts. Let us learn what you are saying today. Let us examine ourselves to see whether we're in the faith. Cause and grant that we may be humble with bowed knees in your presence as we receive that engrafted word now in Jesus' name.
Jesus'
name. Do we know what we have received? Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I'm really going to look at verse 12. Verse 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 12. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. And this is in the context of Paul, his address to the Corinthians, speaking about Christ crucified and risen, speaking about the cross of Christ, speaking about how that spiritual things are only revealed to those who have received the Spirit of the living God. So his talk is about receiving those things. But we can so often forget the question, do we know what we have received? It is one thing to read it and to say amen to it, but do we often, in our reading of Scripture and hearing Scripture preached, do we actually know that experientially? Or do we find ourselves, when we hear these things and we read these things, Lord, I'm not really sure whether I am experiencing this, whether I do really know. And sometimes we have to, if you like, think that. We have to regard that. We have to sometimes examine ourselves as to whether we really are in the faith, or whether we have become dull of hearing, or whether we have opened the door, we've allowed unbelief in, and all those things that can so clog and just mess up the flow of the Holy Spirit. You see, one of the ways that we will know is that the Holy Spirit is flowing. There is no blockage. Whatever we are going through, there is still that faith, that belief that keeps us in the presence of Almighty God. So do we know what we have received? And Paul is referring to those who are obviously in the faith and in full commitment. This is really what he's addressing. Even though the Corinthians were babes and they were having problems, there were still these divisions, yet he challenges them to find out whether they are in the faith, whether they have really received and are receiving. And he really gives a test on this. Now, let's turn, with bearing that in mind, because we'll look at this in a minute, to Ephesians chapter 5, the book of Ephesians chapter 5. And I want us to look at verses 18 through to 21 of Ephesians 5, 18 to 21. And then he says, "And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God." One of the ways we can test where we are in the faith, and do I know whether I am receiving or not receiving, is actually in our time of fellowship, in our time of being together. Our being together in fellowship, in unity and oneness, is one of the big tests as to whether we are receiving and hearing or not. How do we know? We know by what is said here. It says, do not be drunk with wine. It doesn't mean that you necessarily come here plastered. It doesn't necessarily mean that. It can also mean just don't be drunk with the world, with wrong company, going to wrong places, going out of the will of God, and all that, you know, that can so clog and interfere. But be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. That is a test whether we have received or not. Is our coming together a drudge? Is our coming together something that, I better be there. After all, you know, if I don't go, then there won't be meetings. We can so come to our meetings with the wrong attitude. Who really are we coming to and for? Are you coming because it's full gospel assembly? Are you coming because the pastor is going to be preaching today? Or are we coming because I love Jesus? And that is where Jesus is to be found, where two or three are gathered together in his name. Wherever God's people are, that is where Jesus is, and that is where I would like to be also. Now, if you have that appreciation and you have that desire within your heart, you're going to come with psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for the things, giving thanks to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, we are going to be vocal. We are going to be offering up. We're going to participate. There's going to be something about us because we're in the presence of God, and our body language, our presence, everything tells us we're here believing in faith, ready to receive. They are the tests. Do we know what we have received? I'm not always sure that we do. It is still this head knowledge. It is still, and theology has its place, believe me. But don't substitute theology for the real thing. Some of the things that God does are the most simplest of things. The way that we can be quickened in the Spirit can come from someone by the most simplest things that he or she may say, that will just quicken, that will move the Spirit amongst us in our meetings. If we are coming with that motive and attitude to be entertained, and that the pastor will keep it all under control, he'll keep it moving, he'll keep the choruses going, he'll keep the prayers going, he'll be there to minister the word, you do not know what spirit you are of. And you don't really know why you are here. And that is why you don't glean from what is here. Because that is a form of idolatry, and it is a problem. And idolatry is what the world has out there. It's just simply you are elevating somebody that's spiritual, but you could be elevating anyone else who's in the world because it's of the same spirit and nature. That's the difference. This is really what he's addressing here. These are the things that we need to know and understand why it is that we come together for fellowship, for worship and praise. Well, bearing that in mind, we go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12, because he says here, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit is from God. So where is the spirit, the new birth? It is from God. It is his gift given to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It is a gift that no value can be put upon it. And therefore, because we are aware of that, we are appreciative of that, we thank the Lord, we praise him. Words are never enough. Words are never enough. But the Spirit is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. So because the Spirit is from him, therefore we know what comes from him. And when we receive from God, God will continue to give, because it's his nature. There is no beginning, there is no end. This is why manna every week is always fresh and new. It is his giving. Whatever we are hearing, it is his giving. He's encouraging us, exhorting us, and so on. This comes from the Spirit of Almighty God. Uncreated eternal spirit always has been and always will. No beginning, no end. The eternal one. That is what he has placed within your spirit, within your heart. You are in the likeness of God, his nature, a new creation in Christ Jesus. And of his fullness you have received. But do you know it? Do you know that you have received this? Now again, this knowing is not a simple knowing. I know it intellectually. I know it theologically. I know it personally. I know he lives. I know he is alive. I know he is risen from the dead and seated at the right hand of the Father. I know I am a new creation. I know that my mind, my thinking, my affections are changing. Notice I use the word are changing because we are on a journey. Yes. There is an initial knowing, what we read in Scripture. There is the actual, there's what Christ has done. But the knowing side of it is a journey, is a process. And God has chosen That is the way that he wants us to experience him, is by this knowing. And that is why he has left us in the world for that purpose, not just to be buffeted around and to be destroyed by the enemy, but he's left us in the world, as the scripture says, he's preserved and kept us in this world.
That's right.
By his power, by his spirit.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
As we will not survive. Now, all of these things that I have said are experiences, are a knowing. Yes, there can also be a feeling. Not that we look to that, but faith, if we believe we have faith, faith is going to produce the evidence. It is going to reveal the actual, the real. There eventually has to come that manifestation. And part of a lot of the manifestation is that knowing. So the manifestations of your faith over all these years has influenced your knowing, and your knowing of God and experiencing of God. That is why we make so much about the faith and the faith teaching. It's not just promises, which it is, of course, but those promises are actual, are real. And they are made real to us, so that we can have that knowing, so that the world knows we have been with Jesus. Why was it just with the disciples? Jesus said that I must go and I will send the Comforter. And he did. And the world was turned upside down after Pentecost, because they knew they had been with Jesus. They saw that Jesus was still alive. He was risen. He had returned. But he had returned in a different way. He had returned through people. There's the difference. And how did the world know? Because they could see he was amongst them. They could see he was with them. And they were with him. They could see it. This world is not going to be impressed by your words. There's a lot of good talkers out there. They can all say the right thing. This world will be impressed when they see that you are with Jesus and he is with you, and they are touched by the life of Christ in you. That is what's going to affect them. And that is by your attitude. It is the way you treat your neighbour. It is the way you treat your family, your mother, your father. I can go on and on and on. That is the knowing. That tells the world that they are with someone different. And God will show us, or give us glimpses of areas in our life where God is using it to influence and speak to people, the world. He will show you. He won't show you everything, but he will show certain things where he's using you to speak to people.
That's right.
It may simply by your kindness, your spending time with them, just talking to them, instead of ignoring them. God can use that. God can work in so many ways where what you have done or gone that extra mile has revealed the risen Lord Jesus Christ. And many times it costs you. It doesn't come easy. It is a sacrifice, and we're not willing at times to sacrifice. We're still of this notion, well, Christ did the initial sacrifice, so there's no need for any more sacrifices. He did it at Calvary. But there is. We also, if we bear our cross and take it up daily, it is sacrificial in nature. It's meaning that you put yourself last. It is that willingness to die on behalf of someone or that situation or whatever it would be. And a lot of that dying is simply just keeping your mouth shut. That is a lot of it. So this is where the world is influenced. But the question we're raising today is, do I know these things that are going on in my life? Can I say, yes, I've not arrived, there's still much more to do, but praise God, what he is saying today, this man, I can say amen to, because I'm seeing glimpses of it happening in my life, in my daily walk at work, at home, in my marriage, or whatever it would be. Because God wants us to know this. And if we're not, then now is the time to change. Now is the time to seek God while he may be found. Now, bearing that in mind, knowing what we have received, it's interesting just to read verses 1 to 8, where what the Apostle Paul is actually saying here to the Corinthians. And he says here, "And I, brethren, when I come to you, did I not come with excellency of speech and of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God? For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." By coming in that way, by not knowing anything, he didn't know what he was going to say. Oh, he could have said things. He could have really given them a good old lecture. And had the ability and the intellect to do so. But he chose to come in absolute humility, because that was the way they would see Christ. That is where they would see Jesus. And that is where Jesus wanted to be glorified, in that man coming in that nature and spirit to this church. "I was with you in weakness, fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." There we are. Can you say in your life that my life is in demonstration of the Spirit and of power? Because that is what it should be. That is what the early church was experiencing, and that's why they turned it upside down like they did. It was in their weakness that Christ was being preached. It was in their weakness that Christ was seen. It was in their weakness that the world saw where true fellowship and unity lie. The trouble is, we are mistaking, confusing where Christ is putting to death those things in our life. And because he's dealing with us and he's putting those things to death, we somehow have this idea that this assembly is suffering, that this assembly is going down. What is going to happen to us and everything? It isn't. It's so that he removes those things from our life, yeah, to exalt and lift this assembly, to make it that light that God intends it to be. Don't personalize what you are going through, that it is this body's fault. That is not gracious. It is critical. It's God dealing with you. He's dealing with me. I know areas where God is dealing with me in order that this church may be exalted and this light that God has placed in this church may be seen. My problems are not the problems of this church. And it is wrong. And some in our pride are doing this. How dare we blame this assembly because of my faults? But we have done it. And we must be on our guard. God is dealing with you. He's dealing with me for a purpose, that he will be glorified in our worship, in our gathering together, so that the world will see. What God is dealing with is each one of us. Whether it be our tongue, whether it be our attitudes, whether it be covetousness, whether it be lusts, you name it, whatever. He's dealing with us, each one of us. It's not always the body's fault. How often have we experienced or heard people saying things, making it all spiritual, coming out and everything, and after a while you're listening, you say, hang on, that's their problem. They're just twisting it, they're using it, they're making it all spiritual. But actually what I'm hearing, what they're saying, is actually their problem. Have you ever heard that? I have. But they don't see it. They don't see it. Because they don't know. They haven't yet received. I don't know in my life until God opens my eyes. Because I haven't received. You can say it till the cows come home. But until I see it, until I've received, I will never know. You will never know. So we say to ourselves, well, what do we do then? We pray one for another. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. That's why we pray intercede. So that we see, that we may know, and get that deliverance, that healing. Amen?
Yes.
And we always pray that in the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Placing ourselves in that situation, because that could be me if it were not for the mercy of God. And that's why sometimes we need to place ourselves in the shoes of that brother or sister and take it on, take it, the burden, take it on in intercession and pray it through. For the sake of unity and oneness. That your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of the age who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. Now this is our problem, because it's a mystery, it takes time. And we're not very good with time. We're impatient. But you see, God, his wisdom, the mystery of wisdom, is always revealed at the right time when you and I can take it. And until then, we are preserved and kept by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. You see? Thank God for the blood of Jesus that washes us, cleanses us, that keeps us in fellowship, still in areas of our blindness that we're coming through. But as is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for those who love him. We don't know. We haven't a clue. But as we come, we stay with it, we are going to be experience those things that he has prepared for us, because he loves us and we love him.
Amen.
We're here because of his love. We're here because we love one another. It is that love that is the motivating force, as we have no fellowship. What is the point otherwise? But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. And what is God doing today? Right now, this moment, the Spirit is searching out the deep things. We are hearing things today that we hadn't heard before. Why? Because the Spirit is searching. He's going deep. Why? So that we may know what we have received. You see? For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us of God. And the apostle speaks that in faith. And he's probably seeing some many negative things, things that are going very wrong. However, I choose not to accept that. I choose to accept we have received the Spirit of God. Whatever the case, whatever we're going through, whatever God is trying to say, or whatever it needs to be done, it always comes back, doesn't it, to the end of the day, our faith, our belief. You see? It can take a long time to know what we've received. And unless the conditions are right, one might never fully know. But if we keep coming and we keep listening, then we're going to know. Because the Holy Spirit will make sure that we know. Because he brings us into the right conditions, the right environment for us to know. We can all, if we want to, walk away. And some have. But if we still keep coming, it is for a purpose that we might know. And that's why we hold on to restoration. That is that we might know we have received. Restoration is about knowing what we have received. Our inheritance. Claiming it. Entering into it. That's why we're to enter spiritually into the promised land. It's a restoring, bringing back under apostolic anointing, faith and so forth. Very important. Well, there are six areas that I want to expound on as to whether you know that you have received. Some of them might seem quite elementary, but however, they do need to be addressed. And firstly, this receiving and knowing that we received is in God's word. That is absolutely paramount, and I start with that first one. Do I know that I am receiving the Spirit of God through the word that I hear regularly, week after week? Do I know that? Is that my experience? Or do I just go along because others go, or my family go, or my husband, my wife goes, or whatever it is? Am I receiving life from the word that I hear? Does it change me? Does it teach me? Is it revealing that wisdom, that mystery that we have just read about from God? Is it enabling me to know more about my Lord and Saviour? Does the word that I receive and am receiving, does it show the world? Is it showing the world that I have been with Jesus and am with Jesus? Because the word must change us. That's the first one. Again, no blinding revelation, but however, I think applicable in what we're talking about. And the second thing, receiving. This receiving is in experiencing, in restoration, ministry, of which is the fivefold ministry. So in our time of restoration, God restoring the gifts, restoring the fivefold ministry, am I receiving? Do I know what I am receiving through the fivefold ministry and what it is supposed to do for me? That is to mature me, make me a son, equip me for ministry, equip me for the work and so forth. Do I know that experientially? You have to be honest. All of us, we can still just come and just be spectators and listen to another sermon. Or do I know that that sermon is preparing me for something? It's equipping me. And if it isn't, then you need to ask God. Lord, let this word that I hear week after week equip me for ministry. Let this word cause me to grow up, to mature. Some of us may never have asked that. But by asking, you are going to find profound things will start to change. And thirdly, the receiving is apostolic faith and fellowship. I've already touched on this. But the ultimate of our fellowship, the ultimate of God's word and the move of the Holy Spirit, is to restore and bring the church, as the bride makes herself ready, back under apostolic faith. Do I know that? Is that a fact? Or is it just something I hear being preached, I hear come over the pulpit? Or do I know that that is actually working in my life? It is building me up in the faith, causing me to embrace these promises, holding on to the word of God, and so forth. That again should be an experience. Do I know this? Because if we don't, then something is wrong. You're not going to feed off what God is placing in this church. You see, God doesn't force these spiritual things upon us. They are there for the taking. You see, every time in Scripture and in Jesus' ministry, they had to step out and take a step of faith. A step of faith is actually receiving. A step of faith is actually asking. A step of faith is one step moving towards Christ, who has all the promises of God, which are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. Our step of faith can be diverse in many ways. But that's how it is. Why? Because Christ has done it all. He did it all at Calvary. He said, it's now finished. Oh, but the devil's on my back. What am I going to do? Well, get him off. Christ has equipped you to do so. You know, as I'm preaching this, it's like God is just giving me a vision at the moment now. And I'm going to tell you something he's showing me, and I can almost see it in front of me. It's like an army who are ready to go out and fight, and all their kit is laid out. I can see it. All the kit, all the everything they need to wear, all the weaponry and everything. And I just see one or two who see it and go and put it on and take up the weapons, and still others are just sitting there. Well, what shall we do? And it's staring them right in their face. Thank you, Lord. That is so real. Is that what God's saying here in this church? I don't know. I'll leave that with you. The receiving of God is having the vision. Not a vision, the vision. The vision of restoration. The vision of the bride of Christ making herself ready. The overcomers rising up in faith. Do you know this? Is this revealed to you? Is it real? Because if you don't, I'll tell you something that we have that I know not a lot have read. It's called Deeper Life in the Spirit. Because it's all there. It is all there. Whatever we may think have happened to the author of that book, but I will tell you, in that book, God was with that man.
Amen.
It is one of the most anointed books I read, apart obviously from the Word of God itself. And it's equipping us, giving us a vision for the end time. And many are still groping around wanting these revivals. God's finished with revivals, but they refuse it. They won't have it. But you know why they won't have it? Because they don't know. It's not revealed. And so that is where we supplicate, we pray that God in his mercy will reveal. Because unless you see it, you can't walk this. Unless you see it, you can't fellowship with this. And it's as simple as that. Some see, some don't. But we must be careful, because love will say, okay, that is sovereign. It is in the word of God. God knows those who are going to be eternally saved. However, I don't know that. And he has given me the Holy Spirit. He has given me the ministry of prayer. And I'm going to pray. And I'm going to intercede. Unless, of course, that person has blasphemed the Holy Spirit. And most haven't, thank God. So we can stand in the gap. We can appeal to the mercy and grace of God. It's what I found myself doing last week amongst some unbelievers where I was teaching for the week there. I thought, what light am I here? But I thought, no, I may be the only person who may pray for them. What a privilege to present them and bring them before the throne of grace.
Yes, right.
That they'll be there on that day. Father, don't forget them on that day. And I believe that. I believe that my prayers were heard for those people. Outwardly, does it look anything? No. But very often God works behind the scenes, doesn't he? In the most profound way. The receiving of God is being prepared. Do I know I am being prepared? Do you have that sense about you that this is preparatory? That God is working. He's working, preparing the scene for what is shortly to come. Do I know that? Or do I just hear it said over and over again? We better say amen to it, because if we don't, well, you know, we'll make a few people unhappy. Or can we actually say whatever we feel, whatever we're going through, and how many times we've heard, well, we're not far away, you know. We can all become a bit cynical. I've been hearing that one for 20 years. We're not far away. You know, and it's easy to think like that. I have thought like that. But there's something within me says no. It is true. Because I only have to look at the world out there. I only have to listen to the news. I only have to see what's happening to this nation. That there is the falling away. You only have to see what's happening in Christendom. It's awful. A lot of what's happening. So it comes back. You know it. You don't have to rush to scriptures to see what's happening. So do I know I'm being prepared? The humble, the meek, the lowly will always want to know. We are always at peace with Christ. When we know, a child is always feels secure and safe when it is with its parents and being held in the arms by the parents. They just feel secure. They know they are loved. And that is the experience you must know from Christ, from God, that you are held, embraced in his arms.
Yes, right.
Whatever you go through, whatever is happening, whatever it looks like, I know he will not let me go. Amen.
Yes.
Do we know what we have received? That's the question. Father, thank you again. Thank you that you are revealing mysteries to us, hidden things. You want us to know. You want us to know that love that passes all understanding. You want us to know that we can love and embrace the vilest offenders. You want us to know that we go at times that extra mile. You want us to know that the world out there needs to see Jesus and to be touched by him. Lord, you want us to know these things. And so often it's staring us right in our face. That forgive us, Father, we can be so blind, so hard-hearted. But Lord, melt our hearts. Change these hearts of stone to hearts of flesh. Be the strength of our being. hold the reins of our mind. Yes, our flesh is failing us, but there is a reason why it's failing us, because you are bringing us to the end of ourself. You don't want flesh exalted in this place, in this fellowship. So let us not make that mistake that because you are dealing with flesh, you are weakening us, that therefore there must be something wrong with the body. No, it starts with me. But the humble will know that. So Lord, we thank you today. Thank you that you are amongst us. Thank you, Lord, you are here touching our lives, changing us, moulding us more and more into your likeness and your way. Thank you, Father, for placing healing, deliverance, salvation today in this meeting.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen, amen, amen. Father, we remember those who are not here with us today. We especially, Father, continue to pray for our dear sister Marie-Louise. Father, touch her, restore her. You will raise her up, Father. You have not forgotten her. Lord, I thank you that she's always faithfully, always there in the room waiting for your word. Father, that always touches me. It makes it worthwhile as a preacher. It is very humbling, Father, when you have people who are desperate, who need that word, that manna. Lord, I just thank you that you will raise her up. And Lord, there will be great rejoicing.
Oh, yes.
Father, you will bring such happiness and joy not only to this assembly, but I know to her family also. Father, help Glenn, who is a faithful husband, who's with her day and night, 24 hours. Strengthen him in mind, body and spirit. Raise his heart and spirit up, Father. Let the joy of the Lord be his strength. Reveal Jesus to him in a deeper and more profound way. And Father, make us mindful and sensitive how to minister to our sister in this time, for we too are being tested. And Lord, we thank you. Father, we also remember others. We remember Anne as well, who has been said clinically, who's terminally ill. Father, we are waiting before you, how just to reveal Jesus in the way that you want to reveal yourself to her and her family. We wait on you, Lord. We wait on you, Father, for many, many other things. For others who once used to embrace and used to come and have fellowship, Lord, we wait on you. And so, Lord, we thank you today. Thank you, you've made this meeting possible.
Yes.
Father, I pray you'll be with us, bless us, preserve us and keep us till we assemble again, because we ask this in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Rushes onward, ever growing. Precious onward ever growing, till it finds fulfillment in the arms of the sea. So I worship and adore you, lay my whole life down before you, and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security. And Jesus is